Low dish 8. Genetic analysis and cell biology. In previous chapters, we learned how proteins, the cell's working molecules, are isolated, how their structures are determined, and how the genes encoding known proteins are cloned. Our primary concern, however, is what a protein does in the organism. In principle, the in vivo function of a protein can be deduced by seeing what effect removal of the protein has on the cell, or, in the case of a multicellular organism, on the whole organism. In practice, removing a protein is done indirectly by identifying organisms in which the nucleotide sequence of the gene encoding the protein is altered, or deleted. Such changes in the DNA sequence, called mutations, can lead to loss of the encoded protein, or to a change in its structure. The affected organisms, called mutants, are identified by virtue of differences in their appearance, physiology, behavior, or growth properties compared with normal, wild-type non-mutant organisms. By comparing specific DNA sequences from mutant and normal organisms, researchers can correlate the abnormal features of the mutant organism with differences in the expression or structure of specific proteins. Alternatively, specific mutations can be introduced into clone genes, and the mutated genes then introduced into intact organisms, e.g., yeast and mice. Again, comparison of the normal and mutant organism provides clues about the in vivo functioning of the encoded protein. In this chapter, we consider some basic concepts in genetics and various genetic techniques that are useful in studying how proteins carry out specific cellular processes and in what order specific proteins function. In the first section, we review basic properties of mutations. In the second, we discuss the isolation of mutants and the characterization of mutations using classical genetic analyses. We then describe the various steps in the mapping of mutations, that is, the procedures for locating mutations on particular chromosomes, in regions within chromosomes, and in relation to one another. In the fourth section, we discuss the use of recombinant DNA techniques presented in Chapter 7 to isolate and clone mutation to find genes from relevant DNA libraries. This approach has permitted the identification and cloning of numerous human disease-linked genes since the mid-1980s. Finally, in the last section of the chapter, we consider molecular techniques for introducing cloned genes, including deliberately mutated genes, into the genome of eukaryotes. As the discussion in this and the previous chapter illustrates, the marriage of two genetic disciplines, classical genetics and recombinant DNA technology, forms a powerful approach for understanding biological function. Chapter 7 focused on the protein-to-gene strategy, that is, using knowledge about the sequence of a normal protein to prepare probes for isolating its corresponding gene from a library of cloned DNA. Most of this chapter focuses on the gene-to-protein strategy, that is, using mutation to find genes to identify normal proteins.